This morning, themes of gratitude and sacrifice from others are occupying our minds and our thoughts. And our sermon this morning continues these themes. Today, we look back. Today, Americans are remembering and giving thanks. 245 years ago on this day, a group of brave individuals put their name on a document that would pave the way for the birth of our country. So today, our nation looks back on that day, and we give thanks, as we did giving thanks for those in the video earlier in our service. Today, we give thanks for brave men and women who have given of themselves that we might live in a free and blessed nation. Sometimes we do the same thing in our personal lives. We look back, we remember, we give thanks for people, for events who have shaped us and formed us into who we are today. It's been almost 25 years ago, but I still remember a vacation that our family took in 1997. Jenna was a little over a year old, and Joshua was not yet born, but the three of us, Amy and Jenna and I, left Louisville, Kentucky for a vacation visiting family. That week was the last time I visited with my grandmother, who at the time was my only living grandparent. My grandmother was in a nursing home over in Conyers, Georgia, just about an hour from here. On that trip, we spent a couple of hours visiting with her. We also went to the cemeteries and the grave sites where my other three grandparents were buried, graves I had not visited in several years. Those were good experiences for me. I needed to make those visits. As I sat in the nursing home, as I stood in the cemetery looking at grave sites I had not visited for a number of years, I remembered how important these individuals are to me. I reflected on how much each grandparent had influenced and shaped my life, how much they had given to me. They didn't give me much money. None of them had money. But well beyond material possessions, they gave me a sense of joy for life. They gave me a sense of love and appreciation for family and friends. They nurtured in me a growing awareness and faith in God. On that vacation, almost 25 years ago, I realized more than ever I had in my entire life to that point how much I owed my grandparents. I thought similar to Albert Schweitzer. Albert Schweitzer once wrote, "I look back upon my youth and I realize how so many people gave me help, understanding, and courage. They entered into my life, and they became powers within me. All of us," he said, "live spiritually by what others have given to us. We all owe so much of the wisdom that we have made our own to other people. And we may well ask ourselves what others one day will owe us." That's exactly what that vacation in 1997 meant to me. I realized more than ever, I am a grandson, I am a son, but I am also an heir. I have inherited values and beliefs from my grandparents and my parents and many others who have made me who I am today. Yes, I am a son. I am a grandson, but I am also an heir. Every July the 4th, Americans remember that we are heirs. We are heirs of the efforts and values of those who have gone before us, who have sacrificed so that we might live the lives that we live today. Paul, when he was writing to his Christian friends in Galatia, had something similar in mind, though it wasn't the birth of a nation, it wasn't looking back on his own family, but it was a broader concept that was the family of God. I invite you this morning to listen to our text for today and keep in mind these thoughts about an heir as we listen to Paul's writings, Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 26. Paul says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery until the element spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption as sonship or children. Because you are sons or children, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. In last week's text, Paul began talking about this idea of inheritance. He took the example, we said last week, of a contract. And his argument was this: once a contract is set, once it's signed and it's established, you can't go back later and change it. He specifically referred to the contract with Abraham in Genesis 17 that we read earlier in our service for today. It was a contract with Abraham about his inheritance. Well, in these verses for this morning, Paul describes to his Christian friends in Galatia that they are children of God. He said, because you have faith in Christ Jesus, you are a part of God's family. You are a part of the contract that God made with Abraham all the way back in the book of Genesis. But there's even more. Not only are you part of the contract, he writes, but you are, as a child of God, you are an heir to the promises that God gave to Abraham. All through our passage for this morning, Paul's message to his Christian friends is very clear. He says, you are not only a child of God, yes, you are that, but you are also an heir to God's promises, an heir in God's family, an heir to all that God promised to Abraham. And that message is for us today as well. We are God's children. We are part of God's family, but we are also heirs. That's an important message. But Paul not only tells us we are heirs, he also tells us what it is that we are inheriting. In chapter 3, verse 29, Paul says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That was the message Paul was writing. He reminds his readers, he reminds us, that we are heirs of the promises given to Abraham because of the contract that was established. So, what exactly are we inheriting? Well, the passage we read in Genesis 17 details some of these promises that we receive as heirs to the covenant. We won't read all of it again, but just listen to some of the promises that God gave to Abraham that are now promises to us. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Skips on down. You will be the father of many nations. Down to verse 7. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant or contract between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants. In just this short, simple contract, God gave to Abraham and all of his descendants, which we are included in because of our faith in Christ, at least two very important promises. Number one, we are a part of a family. God promises Abraham that he would be the leader of a great family, and that same promise God gives today to all Christians. Paul reminds us, before we knew Christ, we were not part of a family. We were orphans. We belonged to no one. We were excluded. We were not heirs. But because of our faith in Jesus, we have now been adopted into God's family. We now have a family, the body of Christ. Along with Abraham, we have received God's promises of belonging. We are part of God's family. We are heirs. See, that part of the promise is so significant. On this day, we recognize how important that truth is for us. For Paul, being part of God's family meant that in the past, we were not welcome. We were not accepted. We were all alone. We were outside. We were criticized. We were condemned. We were not included. Have you ever felt exiled, not included in your life? Tom Landry was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys for many, many years. He was also a very dedicated Christian. Well, years ago, you may remember an incident where the Ohio State football coach, Woody Hayes, lost his job because he punched a football player on an opposing team during a football game. He was fired for that incident. And following that horrible situation, Woody Hayes was fired, and the field day had, the press had a field day with his firing. They literally, figuratively, tarred and feathered the former Buckeye football coach. Few people at that time could have possibly felt lower than Woody Hayes. He had not only lost control in a game and done a very foolish thing, but he lost his job, and he lost much of the respect that folks had for him. Well, at the end of that season, at the end of the football season, that year, a very prestigious banquet was held for professional athletes, and Tom Landry was invited to come to this prestigious banquet, and he was invited to bring someone along with him. Guess who he brought? Woody Hayes. He brought with him the person who was excluded. He brought with him the person who was criticized, the person who was condemned, the person who was the laughing stock of the country. Tom Landry invited him to come with him to this very prestigious banquet. Why? Because he wanted him to be included. He wanted him to be part. That's what it's like to be part of God's family. Paul says those who are looked down upon, those who were previously not welcome, are included. They are invited to come. Those who were outside are now invited to come in to be accepted. Those previously excluded are now adopted, not only as children, but as heirs to the promises of that family. We are now welcome. Before Christ, we were outsiders. Now we are part of God's family, adopted as heirs. But Abraham was also promised not only a family, but an eternal and everlasting relationship with God. Think about that. He was not only promised that he would be the leader and part of a huge family, but he was promised that God would always, always be with him. In Genesis 17, God says to Abraham, "I will be your God, and you will be my people." God promises not only a family, but also an eternal relationship as part of our inheritance. That means at least two things. Number one, it means that whatever you're going through in life, God will always be with you. No matter what comes our way, good and bad, God is there. David Livingstone returned to Scotland after being exiled in Africa for more than 16 years. And when he returned to the classroom in Glasgow University, he was asked by his students, "Dr. Livingston, how in the world did you survive 16 years being imprisoned, being exiled?" David Livingston responded, "What sustained me amidst the toil and hardships and the loneliness of my exiled life? It was God's promise. Lo, I am with you always, even until the very end." Only an heir can say such a thing. To be an heir means that every day of our lives, God's promise is to always be with us. We are sustained because God is with us even until the very end, as Livingstone said. To be an heir means that God is our refuge and strength in the good and the bad, in the bright and the dark, in the comfortable, in the painful, in the joyful, in the sorrowful. God is there. To be an heir means as we lie awake at night worried and afraid and upset, we know God's arms are around us. To be an heir means that as we hold the hand of a loved one who is sick or in pain, God's hand is there as well. As we grieve silently, not knowing what to say or even how to say it, because we are an heir, we know God is listening even to the silence of our lives. As our hearts break with family problems, we know God is quietly mending and restoring the broken pieces of our hearts and our lives. To be an heir means as we rock away hour after hour in bitter loneliness at times, we still know God is there. To be an heir means God is with us in every situation of life. That's why Paul says, "You are children of God. And because you are, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. You are God's child. You are an heir." And we know that this is true because Paul says very simply, "When the time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the full rights of God's children. Since you are a child of God, you are an heir." But you know what that means? It doesn't just mean that God is always with us. That is true. But because God is with us, what that means is we get to live differently. Because we know God is with us in every situation. See, the second part of that promise means that we get to live with complete trust. It is because God has promised to always be with us in every situation of life, we are able to completely trust God with every step of our lives. Nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. God is always with us no matter what happens. You may have heard of the father who walked by his daughter's bedroom one evening when she was saying her prayers. The father stopped to listen. After a while, there was a long pause in the little girl's prayer, and her father waited to see what she was going to say. Well, after the pause, the little girl just began saying her ABCs. Well, the father waited until she finished, and then he went into her bedroom and sat down on the bed. And he said, you know, honey, I couldn't help but listen to your prayers, and I was wondering, why did you say the ABCs in your prayer? And the little girl said, well, Daddy, I really didn't know what to pray for, so I figured I'd just give God all the letters, and God could put them together any way he needed. Isn't that trust? I mean, how often do we take the letters, put them all together the way we want them to be in perfect form, and then hand them to God and say, God, here's what I want. Now go make it happen. But living in complete trust is, God, I'm going to let you worry about the letters. You put the letters together. I trust you because I am your child, because I'm an heir of your promise. What do I have to worry about? What do I have to fear? God, take the letters. Put them together as you need. Here's the bottom line. Your inheritance is ready to be claimed. Your inheritance is ready to be claimed. God's promises are ready for you to receive. The only thing that is required of you, the only thing that is required of you is faith and trust in the one who loves you enough to make you not only a child, but also an heir. That, my friends, is amazing grace. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, on this day, we are grateful that we are heirs of your promises. We are grateful on this day for what we have received from so many who have gone before us, and especially for the faith that you have given to us. So lead us and guide us in your amazing grace, for we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.